Our InvestTalk podcast production is made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, president. If you have a 401k that's kind of leaving you in the cold, this could be a way to optimize your employer's choices. My 401k from KPP Financial ranks your current 401k investment options within your employer's specific plan based on current trends and long-term performance. And then it builds a portfolio that corresponds to your personal risk tolerance. Take a look at the program. Click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com and then My 401k. End of commercial. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of InvestTalk, December 8, 2016. And of course, we're all about above average investing for the average investor, teaching you how to become better than average. We're here to talk about not only investing, but developing, you know, a well-rounded attitude about managing money. It's not about just picking this stock and that stock and here's my three stocks I like. It's managing your assets, managing your portfolio, managing your whole financial life. It's what we want to talk about. Yes, it is about picking individual stocks, but building a good portfolio of stocks, not just this stock and that stock. I always worry about that when we answer questions about individual stocks, that this is a stock they're going to, you know, buy all their money's worth on this one company. And then when I say something like, well, it looks like it's undervalued, it might go up, and it doesn't, well, I'm not always going to be right. Justin and I are not right all the time. Nobody is. That's why you manage a portfolio of stocks, so that you can be wrong. Everybody's wrong. But if you manage a portfolio of stocks, keep your mistakes small and let your winners run, then you have a good balanced portfolio, and it doesn't matter if you make a mistake once or twice or thrice. You know, it doesn't matter. So that's what we want to talk about. How to manage that. Today, we're going to talk about bonds too. And you know, bond investors have to have a realistic outview. There's only a few, three possible outcomes for bonds, and two of them are bad from this point forward. So we just got to be realistic about bonds, and that's going to be one of our talking points. And much of our conversation on InvestTalk is about making better investing and money management decisions. When you're deliberating about a stock or mutual fund, what factors are you weighing? If you came to if you were at our webinar last night, we showed you what factors that you should be looking at, what we thought would be important. And we thought you should move to more to the value side of the market versus the growth. And, you know, problem is we being human beings, we're very emotional. And we want just quick and easy emotional answers, exciting answers. Oh, Tesla is making a really good-looking electric car. Wow, I like that. Cool. Neat. That's not a good way to invest money. Okay, for amateur investors, they kind of gravitate to growth stocks because of the excitement of growth stocks. Highly speculative names. Amazon, Tesla, very exciting. Both of those companies are very innovative, and of course, investors have been buying them very aggressively. But what about the fundamentals? What about the profitability, cash flow, sustainability of the business? You know, what about those things? Amazon has leveraged technology to grow its e-commerce platform, and that dominates everything today, right? They use technology better than anyone. Great efficiencies, and they've done this with very small, but sustainable margins, meaning profit margins. And early on, they plowed all their excess cash back into research and development, so they made no money for years and years and years and years. And they're finally now profitable. Okay, so Tesla, however, on the other hand, changed the car industry as a whole as we know it. They pushed the envelope. However, their financial success has been much worse. Both are exciting names. They're pumping out exciting cars. I know that. I see them. I like them. They're great. But they continue to burn cash at a very alarming rate. And they blame it all on research and development spending. But they would still have negative cash flow figures despite those investments. They lose money on every car they sell. Now, do I think Tesla's going to be successful? Yes, but they might not be successful with their current shareholders. They might be filing bankruptcy someday and someone pick it up cheap, or they might come out of bankruptcy but with a different shareholders and less debt. You don't think. GM is still in business. They filed for bankruptcy, right? Remember in 2008, they filed for bankruptcy. 2009, I don't know exactly which year. They filed bankruptcy. What did that do? And then they came out of bankruptcy, and now they're a very strong auto company. But every shareholder back then got killed that owned it before they filed bankruptcy. What makes you think that can't happen with Tesla? They're on a worse path than GM ever was. So what's your story? I don't want to beat this in the ground. Let's have an open discussion about whatever you want to talk about financially. As always, we're in this for all money questions. So let's begin the Q&A. Let's go to our 24-hour listen line. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hey, guys. Me in Mississippi, listen to you on podcast. I had a question about Lord Abbott funds. They're in a simple IRA that we have through work. I was curious to know is that when I'm looking at these options, how do I know if they're loaded? And I was trying to look through on the Lord Abbott site. That it doesn't really specify, but then I remember you were speaking of if it says an A or a B, or if you could help me out on that at all. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you'll know if it's loaded fund because they'll say A shares, B shares, C shares. If they don't say that, they're probably not loaded, meaning no commissions. And most 401k, I haven't seen a commission fund ever. The expense ratio is high, but never see a commission paid in a 401k. So you don't really have to worry about it too much in a 401k. To find out for sure, you'd say, I want to see the prospectus of this fund. And that's a booklet they'll send to you before you buy it, and you can read it. And it will tell you for that fund specifically what the fees are. Okay? And you'll know if it's a loaded fund or not. The prospectus. You call them up, say, please send me a prospectus. They'll be happy to send it out. You might be able to see the prospectus online. I don't know. Probably is. Three possible outcomes for bonds, and two are bad. That's one of our main talking points today. We're also going to talk about one of the oldest stock market indicators, which is now flashing a red danger sign. After these last run-up in the market. Red danger sign. I've talked about this before. And let's see, these stocks rise in an average of 30% in 2017. I'm going to give you the list. That's all this on an article. I'm going to give you the list of those stocks. These stocks are going to rise on the average of 30% in 2017, according to the analysts that follow it. And what's really interesting is almost all these stocks have had a really bad 2016. They've done poorly. Interesting. But we're going to go through. Well, I'm going to give you the list. I'm going to give you the symbols. I'll give you the names, too. And what we didn't get to yesterday, buying a home. What do you need to know when you buy a home? A lot of you who already own a home, you know these things, so it might be boring to you. But I do think we really should go over it. And then you can talk to your younger children or grandchildren or nieces or nephews or whoever. That's what we're going to discuss. Of course, I want to talk about what's on your mind, not what's on my mind. The market was up again today. The Dow's up 65, the NASDAQ up 24, the S&P up 5. And, you know, it looks like we might be going to 20,000 on the Dow. It's 19,500 and something. So it looks like we might get there. This is a Trump rally. It's certainly not a rally on earnings. Certainly not that. Even though earnings did turn up the last quarter, finally, after five or six quarters in a row where they've fallen, the earnings falling. Still had earnings, but they were falling. So that's what we're going to talk about. What do you want to talk about? I mean, I've got all kinds of things that I can discuss because I do this for a living and I enjoy it and I like reading a lot of things, but maybe that'll bore you. So do you have a portfolio or a portfolio strategy that you want to talk about maybe? Maybe about funds, ETFs, 401Ks, IRA, I don't care. Let's talk about it. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Cole from Michigan. I'm a podcast listener for about a couple of years now. I was actually looking at purchasing a utility company, Water Utility, and I was all set to purchase American Water Works. But when I looked at the numbers, I came across another company, which was SBS, which is a Brazilian water utility. I wanted to get your opinion. I know it's Brazil has a little bit of headwind with the dollar going up and the change in the presidency political situation there, but it is in the same area as far as water utility as American Water Works. So I wanted to get your comparison of the two. Thanks very much. I appreciate the show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Well, it's very hard to compare them. AWK and SBS are the symbols because of the fact that SBS is a Brazilian company in Brazil, and it, you know, does the same thing as AWK does here in the United States and one of the provinces of Canada. So it's kind of hard to compare because think about it this way. In Brazil, you have a lot more political risk. In the United States, you don't have much political risk. In Brazil, you have another risk called the currency risk. In the U.S., you don't have that. So you have two additional risk factors, and that has caused the SBS, the company in Brazil, to be much cheaper. I mean, their PE is around 8, 9. They make money. They've made money every year. You know, so that, and it's been erratic. Some years they make a lot more money, some a lot less. And they seem to be starting to grow pretty well. And with the 8 PE, that's close to its low. But it has a poor return on equity of 4%. That's not very good. Now, AWK, you're looking at a PE ratio that's much higher based on next year's earnings. And they also have very steady earnings, and the earnings have been going up pretty consistently. Their forward PE is like 24. Their return on equity is only 10. So both of them are fairly low return on equity. And the growth rate for American Water Works is only 4, 5, 6%. They're a $13 billion company, whereas SBS is only, you know, $5 billion. So, you know, it's hard to compare. Looking at a chart, AWK has come off from $82, $83 all the way down to the $70 range has been now basing sideways for a good month and a half, which I kind of like. I kind of like the chart basing. So I kind of like the chart for AWK. SBS also fell sharply, and I thought I would like to know why it fell sharply in November in 3 or 4 days. It could be because of the political risk there. See, that's one of the problems when you're dealing with a foreign company. But, you know, it looks like a pretty reasonable price. How about a little of each? How about that? I do like the sector. Clean water. I think we got a problem here in the United States. And maybe with Trump as president, there's going to be spending more money on infrastructure, and that might help. AWK. So I kind of like that. It's kind of an interesting play. This is Invest Talk. Remember, we're not all about stocks and bonds. We can talk about anything financial. We got, you know, everybody calls about a stock or a bond or ETF or a mutual fund. But how about any money question? We'd love to talk to you about it. 888-99-CHART. That's our 24 hours a day, 7 days a week listener line. 888-99-CHART. Let's go talk to Will in San Diego. How you doing, Will?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Good. Yeah. Listen, I was looking at Teva Pharmaceuticals, ticker symbol TEVA.
Yes.
And it looked pretty good to me, but I wanted to get your take on it.
Yeah, this is Teva Pharmaceuticals out of Israel. They've been around a long time. Big, solid company, $32 billion or $33 billion company. Big, solid company, paying 3.2% dividend. And it's awfully cheap. awfully cheap, and I'm assuming that's what you saw, Will, right? I mean,
yes, that's exactly what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a P.E. ratio of 7, and the 5-year range for the P.E. is 7 to 13, so it's very low. It has a very good return on equity of 18%. Sales were falling for almost a year and a half, but the last two quarters, they were up 1%, and then the most recent quarter up 15% in sales. So it looks like they've turned around, and yet the stock has taken a dive. Well, I think we're awful close to the bottom here. Well, I think this is a stock
that you could pick up. I can kind of dip my toe in the water here.
Yeah, I would wait maybe a couple, 3 days. And why did it get? Because it looks like it was a 2 to 3 days ago. It was what we call an exhaustive sell-off. It just high volume. Everybody got out. I think that might signal your bottom, but I can't tell you that. It just tends to be true. And this is where you'd want to pick it up. And of course, you know, Trump talked about drug costs being too much, and he might, just like Hillary, and of course that has hurt this whole sector. But I think you're doing the right thing, Will, looking around to see where there might be something you can pick up cheap, and Teva looks like one of them.
Great. Okay? Happy to hear that.
Will, appreciate
the
call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Chase in New York. How are you doing, Chase?
Hey, doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about on the overall the trend of healthcare stocks right now being beat up. How about MPW, healthcare REIT?
That's a REIT. Now, what do you think would be the problem with REITs in general? Real Estate Investment Trust, that's what that means, everybody. Real estate. Think about real estate. What do you do when you want to buy real estate? You take on a lot of debt. And what happens when you want to buy more real estate? You got to buy more debt. And what happens to the debt that you have that you might have to roll over? And that's where your worry is, Chase, is the debt on any REITs. Now, MPW is a medical properties trust. That's a REIT that acquires and develops net lease healthcare facilities across the U.S. And I do like that sector. Don't think I don't like it. I do like it. Sales have been slowing down. I mean, they grew 10% last quarter, 27% the quarter before that, 41% the quarter before that, and 60%. So you can see the sales have been going down quarter. But it pays a really good dividend at 7.4%. It's come down to about $11.50 and then did it two or three times here in the last month or two, and it's at $12.42. So it looks like, Chase, it wants to find a bottom right around between $11.50 and $12. So this could be a good time to pick this up. But they do have a lot of debt, and if interest rates go up, it affects REITs. They go down in value. But might already be built into the price of stock. Everybody already knows that. I know it. You know it. Everybody knows it. So I would, if you're going to hold this for the dividend, that 7.4% looks awfully attractive. Awfully attractive.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Gee, those two stocks I kind of liked in a row, Teva and MPW, Medical Properties. Kind of like them. Teva, Medical Properties was at a $15, and then it fell to $11.50. It's $15 just 2 or 3 months ago. Fell down. Maybe it might be. I do like, if you listen to us at all, and we even mentioned it last night on the webinar, we meaning KPP, we like value stocks. Of course, we want some growth, but we like value stocks, especially in this market. And here we are, Medical Properties, PE is 9. The 5-year range of that one is 7 to 17, and it's 9 right now. I kind of like both those. Good calls. I mean, might have a correction, and if a correction happens, I'd buy more of these too. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to talk about bonds today. But before we do that, we got to talk to our friend Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Good, Steve. I thought I'd ask you about Gilead since you're answering all these questions on pharmaceuticals today.
Well, Gilead, remember I said at the top of the show, analysts see these stocks rising on average of 30% in 2017. These are analysts, and Gilead is on their list. Gilead Sciences. So they like them. they like them a lot. So Develops Therapeutics, and it has been crushed, as we all know. And its PE is 6, and its 5-year range PE is 6 to 37. So this stock also, Art, you know, is at the only problem I have with Gilead is not just because they're in this sector. They've also had problems because of their issues they've had, other than just the sector issues. But, you know, I think it might be close to where you want to pick it up, that's for sure. I would hope it, I hope it holds the number.
I think I read where they've got like close to $24 billion in cash on hand.
I don't know. So, I don't see that. I don't see that in front of me. I know they have some debt. And I wonder why they have debt if they have that much in cash. But appreciate the call, Art. Thank you. We're open to your money questions and comments. 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. Steve and Justin encourage you to try our award-winning risk analysis tool and discover something about yourself. It puts a number to your risk tolerance. And from there, if you'd like, the professionals at KPP Financial can tell you if your current retirement plan is a good match. It's there for you, the free risk analysis tool on investtalk.com. You're listening to Invest Talk, made possible each day by KPP Financial, helping people look forward to their retirement years with confidence. And now it's time for you to do the talking. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Robert in San Leandro. He wants to talk about gold and silver. How are you doing, Robert?
Good afternoon. I'm doing fine. I got a quick question for you. I was reading today on the internet where there is a case going before the judge in New York for gold and silver manipulation by a lot of banks. And I want to know how that's going to affect the average investor like me somewhere down the road when everything is settled.
Probably not at all. I don't think it affects you or me at all. What they may do, it depends on how they, you know, usually these companies get fined big time for doing that kind of thing. And then some people are banned from trading in the industry again for some time for life. But as far as you and I and our holdings of gold and silver, it's probably not going to have any effect on the price. I doubt seriously it will.
So the last part of this question is, do you think that it's going to affect the actual fixing price for gold and silver going forward, where somehow it's going to go up in price because they manipulated it so long for it to go down?
Probably not. Here I'm telling you, no. Probably not. They may change the method in which it is priced, and that's what I think will happen to try to be more transparent. And that's what I think will happen. But other than that, I don't think it'll spike it or make it go down simply because of that. I see up and down based on the dollar, up and down based on inflation. I'm a little worried about, there's a rumor going on in India that they may put some restrictions on citizens buying gold. There's things like that that worry me a bit more than this. So I don't think so, Robert. I don't think it'll really affect us. Appreciate the call.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Gold and silver. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Bonds. There's three possibilities, three possible outcomes either, and two of them are pretty bad, okay? So what do I mean? Well, if you buy bonds, you can have negative returns because interest rates will rise, or you can have very low positive returns. Those are the two most probable outcomes. A third possibility, they go bankrupt, you know, the bond holders that, you know, that you're buying the bonds go bankrupt. But, you know, looking at, well, why am I buying bonds? In the old days, bonds were used to, you know, stabilize a portfolio. But ever since the QE has been going on for years now, bonds have been used as to try to boost performance in a portfolio because interest rates would go down, your bond values would go up. Instead of people just buying the bonds, holding the maturity, collect their yields, and be happy with that. Well, who can be happy with the very low yields that they've been paying here in recent years? So people were speculating on bonds. And I think we need to go back to reality. And the reality is you want to buy bonds to stabilize your portfolio, buy bonds, not bond funds, collect your yield, wait till they mature, and then reinvest that money back into bonds and hopefully at a higher interest rate. And you know I prefer laddering them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and every year they come due, go out the fifth year, so that if interest rates start to rise, you maybe go 6 years, maybe 7 years over the next decade or so, stretching it out to try to get more and more yield. But you have to be able to accept lower yields, because it does help calm your portfolio down. And I think we're going to have a lot more volatility in stocks in 2017. So you need something to calm your portfolio. My issue is I don't think you want to calm your portfolio with bond funds or bond ETFs, because they're going to go down in value. Their net asset value will go down in value as interest rates rise. And I don't think interest rates are going to spike up or anything, but we've already seen a little increase in rates. And if Trump is successful, let's say Trump is successful and he's able to boost the economy. Well, the Fed's going to raise rates. Let's say Trump is not successful, the economy stays the way it is. Fed's still going to raise rates. The only way they're not going to raise rates is the economy tanks. They're going to raise rates if inflation comes in. The only way they wouldn't raise rates is if we get no inflation or deflation. They won't raise rates. We like to play, me, Justin, my team, our company, like to play the probabilities. What's the probability of what interest rates are going to do? Probability is they're going to go up. What's the ultimate result of that on bonds? They go down in value. But if you hold them maturity, they go back to par. They go back to where they were issued. If the $10,000 bond was issued for 5 years and it's going to pay 3% a year, at the end of 5 years, you get the $10,000 back. In between that time, it can go up and down in value, that bond. But it always goes back to par. That's how you should play that going forward. Now, I set aside time each month, as you know, for listeners to sit down and talk to me one-on-one basis, offering second opinions about portfolios and managing money, offering some ideas and some possible solutions to some problems that people have, financial problems. And I can be done in Skype or telephone or in person. If you'd like to reserve your own hour to look over your documents, you know, hear some suggestions maybe, go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, then Portfolio Review.
If you'd like to get a note to Steve or Justin directly, maybe you'd like to get a direct response to a question that's more personal or complex, just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Justin. The note will go directly to them, and they will get back to you.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I'm calling to get your opinion on the stock Citicorp. The symbol is C. Have the stock currently and wanted to see if you think it'd be good to continue to hold or sell. And I'll be listening to the answer on your show. Thank you.
Now, you know, I changed my mind on big banks when Trump won, based on what I know he says he's going to do. I didn't like big banks up to that point because of all the massive regulations. But if he comes through with reducing regulations and interest rates rise, that's good for big banks. Reducing regulations is kind of key for me. So Citigroup, C, it has had a nice run since he was elected. Went from $50 to $60. Not a bad run. That's what, 12% since he's been elected. The Citibank is a big, safe bank. Their sales are still shrinking. They're shrinking less. They're going to make $4.70 this year. That's 12% less than last year. And then next year, they're scheduled to increase their earnings by 10% to $5.15. And it's a $60 stock. So what is that, 12 PE-ish? And, you know, they're pretty solid. Now, I would hold on to it because it's still on the run up. It was up 1.85% today. But I may follow up with a tight stop. I mean, the 20-day moving average is 56. and it's a $60 stock, so it's 4 points. That's like 8%. You could use that as your stop, because the stock won't go up straight up. It will start to turn sideways, and eventually it'll roll over. But it depends on how long. If you're a long-term holder, you could hold Citibank for long-term, because it's not that expensive at 12 PE. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So one of the oldest stock indicator is now flashing a big red danger sign right now. Well, what is that? It's called the Shiller PE. Shiller PE, S-H-I-L-L-E-R-P-E. It's also, they also call that the cyclical adjusted PE, or the CAP, C-A-P-E, indicator. Shiller PE. It's at 27.9 right now. So what does a Shiller PE do that's different? Well, it takes into consideration earnings for the last 10 years of the S&P 500. 10 years, averages their earnings, and then determines, well, what's the price of the S&P 500? And you get a price-earnings ratio. And that is 27.9. Now, the Shiller PE has been high before. Okay, it's been very high, and it can stay high for a long time. It doesn't necessarily signal a market as it's imminent to fall. But when it's above 27.6, and it's at 27.9, it has been extremely reliable about the market falling. Now, don't think that necessarily the market falls this year. It's been, the reliability has been within 1 to 2 years after reaching that peak. So it could be 2 years before the market falls if the Shiller PE is right. Now, you could go back to 1929. That's when it was at 27.9 or higher. Okay, 27.9 or higher. 1929, just before the crash. 2007, it was up in the 27 area before the crash. And so 2000 before the dot-com crash. Those are three very reliable situations in which the market fell because once the Shiller PE got at this range. This is only one indicator, everybody. One indicator is not what you use to determine what's happening. It is a red flag waving in your face, though. Don't ignore it. We are not ignoring it. Don't you ignore it. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. Let's take a question from Ray in Brea.
Good afternoon, InvestDoc. I'm calling with a question in regards to when they report the stocks, they report a specific stock or the market is above the line or below the line. And my question is what does the line represent? Waiting for an answer on the Internet. Thank you. Great show.
Well, usually, you know, when I see that, and it depends on what the reference is. It's difficult to answer that question, but the most common is above yesterday's close or below yesterday's close. You know, what was the line? Well, yesterday it closed at such and such. Well, is it above the line today? Or below? Is it making money or losing money? But no one knows. I can't tell you for sure because there's always a context, and I need to know what is the context. If we're talking about stocks and indexes, that's what they mean. Okay, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? We'll talk about maybe, how about some analysts? Analysts say these stocks are going to rise on average of 30% in 2017. These stocks are going to rise on average 30% in 2017. Try to remember that analysts are always wrong. But you do have, you know, they are quote-unquote the smart people. We'll see. But here's the list. MNK, which is Malenki Crop. ENDP. Pharmaceutical company, HBI, which is Haynes, close. EW, Edwards Life Science. MYL, Mylon. AGN, Allergan. ALXN, Alexa Pharmaceuticals. Have you seen the trend here? CRM, Salesforce, CNC, NRG Energy, Gilead, GILD, Facebook, Boston Scientific, BSX, Facebook is FB, everybody, and TAP, T-A-P, Molson Brewing. Oh, two more. Newell Brands, Newell, NWL, and Zimmer Biomet, ZBH. Did you notice that it's loaded with pharmaceuticals, biotech, drug, this list? Did you notice that? Let's see. There's 16 names, and 16 names, seven of which are in the medical area, pharmaceuticals. So that tells you, you know why they're saying that? Because they got beat up so bad last year. Almost every one of these, if you look at all these stocks, almost every one of them got beat up pretty bad last year. Let me rephrase that. This year, we're still in 2016. They're all down heavily. And for that reason alone, I'm putting a little bit more weight that maybe this would be true for 2017. Instead of trying to pick all the ones that have had great runs, you want to look at ones that are on discount. Okay, let's go to James in New York. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm good. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it.
I wanted to ask about ticker symbol NYCB, New York Community Bank, which I've held for several years now. Enjoyed their dividend for a long time. I'm profiting from the shares that I bought. But I was wondering if this might be the time to sell, and if I were to sell, I would take the proceeds and I would put it into ticker symbol HFC, Holly Frontier, which I already own some, but maybe it's beneficial that I keep NYCB. I don't know. I just wanted to get your take.
Well, it's had a very good run in a short period of time, like all the banks have. And this is New York Community Bank. It's an $8 billion company, a mid-cap. Right now, pays 4%. Earnings are going to be $1.05 this year after being $1.12 last year, and then $1.11 next year, and it's a $17 stock. So it's a five-year range. A P is 10 to 17, and based on next year, it's probably going to be about, close to 14 or so. So it's getting close to it. It's not really at the top. In my opinion, if you're going to take profits, this is the time to take profits. But I would probably follow it with a tight stop rather than just sell it right now. In other words, it's still running. And as long as it's running, I'd let it run a little bit. I really would. But follow up with a tight stop, meaning, have a point that you'll get out if it starts to break down. 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk. Okay, we're going to talk to Jerry in Fremont. He wants to talk about Allergan. How you doing, Jerry?
Hi, Steve. I'm Jerry, actually. I have a question on Allergan. And I know that it has fallen down quite a lot, and it's around 188. And yes. I don't know if you think it's a good buy at this price, or should we wait for that? Thank you.
Okay. Allergan, is out of Ireland. Ireland-based developer of branded drugs for multiple categories, including central nervous system and eye care. They're going to make $13.38 this year, and then six per share. Then next year, $16.06. That's a 20% increase. Sales have been falling, but they're saying the earnings are going to go up. So not sure why that means, but that's what they're saying. Based on that price, based on that earnings and the price of $188, now you're looking at a P ratio of what, 13, 14? And the five-year range is 10 to 38. So it's fairly, it's not cheap, but it's fairly cheap at this price. And it looks like it's found a really solid bottom, about $185 to $188 right where it is. It's been testing this bottom here for a couple of months. So you might want to wait till it starts to come back up, maybe break 190, 192 maybe, then buy it to make sure it's on its way up again, hopefully. But yeah, this is a pretty good price and a pretty solid company. without looking deeper into what do you have in your pipeline and what else do you have going. I don't know that. Just based on the quick look I have here, it looks like this is a good area where you want to think about picking up, Jerry. So, yes. Jay. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. AGN is the symbol, everybody. Let's go to Bill in Maryland. How you doing, Bill?
I'm just fine. I hope you are.
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Okay. Steve, you recommend buying bonds, individual bonds, as opposed to mutual fund.
Yes, sir.
Or ETF bonds.
Yes, sir.
And I've been investing in mutual fund bonds and ETF bonds with very short durations.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering if you also have an opinion on that.
I do. I think if you're going to buy ETFs or a bond fund, keep them short. Short durations. And what Bill is talking about, short durations, everybody, he's saying the bond, length of bond, they mature quickly, 1, 2, 3 years. Do you know what your durations are, Bill, in your bond funds?
Yes, the one fund I have is 0.9 years. It's an ultra-short bond fund.
Okay.
And the other fund is just a short-term corporate bond fund, and it's 2.3 or 2.4, something like that.
So let me restate what I said earlier, Bill, because you have a very good point here. If you're going to do bond funds and bond ETFs, do what Bill does, short-term, because they're not affected as much by interest rates. Yeah, you don't get a big yield out of them. And, Bill, do you know what yields you're getting?
My one yield is about 2.1, and the other yield is about 1.0.
Yeah, so the two is probably the longer one.
Extremely short.
Yeah. You're not beating inflation there, but you're at least getting some return, and you don't have much interest rate risk. So I kind of like that, but you are protecting your assets. And, Bill, I'm assuming that's your main goal, is to protect the assets at that point.
Protect the assets and to be able to invest if there is a downturn.
Gotcha.
Where I can sell that and go into stocks.
So, very good. I think it's a good strategy, Bill. Thank you for calling and thank you for the question. And
thank you very much for the advice, Steve. Listen to you all the time, and it's a great program.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate the kind words. 888-99-SHART. Well, we're just about out of time. I want to quickly go talk about buying a home. And for you people that are older and who have bought homes, you know this, you don't necessarily have to listen. But, one of the things when you go out and buy a home, think about how much home you can afford. Not how much you want, but can afford. And that means about 30% of your gross incomes, or it's also known as the housing ratio, should go to paying the mortgage. Any more than that, you really can't afford that house. Get your credit score. Don't just pick a realtor. Find a good one. Know what you want and organize your paperwork beforehand. Get your documents in order. Our time is up for this hour, everybody. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP Financial, we all want to thank you for listening today. And thank those people for coming to the webinar last night. Maybe we'll do it again tomorrow, huh?
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.